Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
And now, a presentation on the Mental Health News Radio Network. The Outer Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show.
Ryan, that is a freaking awesome question.
You are the power, and you do not need anybody's permission.
He's the only guy that ever crawled out of a grave where people didn't go, oh, ah!
Don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride.
You're a great interviewer. You're one of the best.
If this is the best God can do, I am not impressed.
Get ready. It is a profound honor to welcome back to the show Jeff Berwick. He's the founder of Dollar Vigilante. He's also the founder of Anarchapulco. This person is, he's a best-selling author, freedom advocate, and I listen to his VCast all the time. I look forward to these because he will be very informative and it'll also make you laugh. And he really tries to, you know, show the lighter side of an increasingly dark world. Mr. Berwick, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Ryan. Pleasure to be back.
Thank you. So I have to bring one thing to your attention right away is I'm listening to one of your shows. You're talking about how, like, okay, you know, they just directed a Category 5 hurricane towards you, towards Anarchapulco, and now they're basically saying, yeah, we have energy weapons, and all this stuff is happening. In one of your shows, you're like, God, is this the best they can do? Is this the end game? And I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, Jeff, don't let them. You're going to provoke them into a false flag alien invasion. Like, what are they going to do next? I mean, from what you're seeing, when you are observing the world, not only consciously, but also in your meditative states, are they going to throw something a lot harder at us, or are they going to do this prolonged, slow kind of mental way to try to break people down? Like, how do you foresee the coming months, and what do the elites have planned for humanity?
Well, I don't know, because I can't predict the future, but by all the evidence and what they say and what they're doing, it definitely appears like they're going to do something massive in the next, by 2025. In the next year and almost 2 years, I actually expect something major will happen this year. Even if you just look at the financial and economic sort of stuff, this system is on the verge of collapse in every single way. They're now spending they're actually going into debt. They're spending way more than that, but they're going into debt for $1 trillion every 4 months, is it? I think 4 months. Or three, you can't keep up. That's like, it's getting insane. Their total debt and unfunded liabilities are like $140 trillion now. If you just do the math, it's all has to collapse very soon. It's not going to continue on. We're actually at a very interesting time in that all this money printing, especially that they did during the COVIDs, where they almost tripled the money supply in just a few years, which is unheard of, totally banana republic, Zimbabwe type levels. People get fooled by that. So a lot of things are up. Everything's up because of that. Everyone's noticing that. The price of everything's up, including groceries and everything. And gold's at all-time highs right now. Bitcoin's at all-time highs right now. The stock market's at all-time highs right now. That's exactly what happened in places like Zimbabwe and Weimar Republic and all these sort of places during the hyperinflation. And it takes a while for people to realize it's happening. And so you actually have people, hardly anyone expects at all any sort of a major collapse or crash happening here. And that's usually what happens. It's quite incredible. That's how bubbles always end up. They always end up with everyone believing the bubble will never end, and then it usually does. And so I'm actually predicting something fairly soon. My wife's talked about March 25th has been given to her as a date. She also told us we couldn't go to Acapulco in October because a dark energy was going to hit it. So I listened to her. There's also the April 8th eclipse, which there's a lot of government stuff coming out where they're like, yeah, stock up on food for a 1 minute eclipse.
A little strange, isn't it?
So, and then the Obamas, Barack drone bomber, and Big Mike did their documentary talking about blackouts and a power shut off. And Satan Klaus has talked for a while about the cyber attacks are coming. When they say these things are coming, they're not predicting it. They're doing it. This is what they do. I know people can't believe that we live in a bizarre, like a evil superhero movie, basically, where they're actually telling everyone what they're doing and no one can see it because your average person, well, not everyone, but most people can't see it because your average person has been systematically dumbed down and degraded massively over generations now. Things like fluoride in the water, things like now hundreds of lethal injection vaccines into babies, 12 years of government indoctrination camps that people have gone through for generations to the point where they don't realize just how much of a total slavery system it is, and basically making it so you don't ever really know how to think and you don't really know how to produce anything and things like that. So, your average person just is incapable of it, and they're under the mind control, which is the television programming and things like that, which have been used as mind control for decades. And because of it, they're completely under mind control. It's that old fluoride stare sort of a thing that we talk about. It's funny for people like us who aren't taken down as most people. When we look at people, we're like, oh, that guy's had a lot of fluoride. But they can't see it because that shuts off so much of their capabilities to see anything. So you can't even tell them. It's like telling a drunk person, you know, he's talking stupid stuff. Well, how's that going to turn out? Is he going to sit down and think about it? And you're right. He's drunk right now. And same with fluoridated, vaccinated people. They can't think. So that's where we're at. And I think, there's going to be something happening fairly soon this year for sure. Of course, the Deagle forecast, which is a major military contractor who does extensive, really serious and important sort of estimations on various things, including economies and population numbers and things like that, have said 2025, the U.S. population will be down about 80%. It's mostly like that in almost every Western, more white or used to be sort of country. Countries like Mexico, for example, their population is going to go up, according to Deagle. So, oh, wow. To cut it short a little bit, I could go on for hours, but something's going to happen.
I've seen that report. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, it's going to happen fairly quickly. And once it really starts happening, especially if they release the COVIDs 2.0, which will likely set off using frequencies, probably through 5G towers, they'll set off things in the vaccinated already, and they'll turn into sort of like a zombie apocalypse. I know it sounds crazy, but that's they've said they're doing all this stuff. Bill Gates just recently came out and said, what we injected people was self-assembling. It's an operating system. They're tracking them. They all got Bluetooth codes. They got MAC codes. Now with the 5G, they can target them. So I know it sounds crazy, but that's exactly what's happening. And I think it's kind of funny that people have watched all these movies and TV series their lifetimes, Hunger Games and The Matrix and Black Mirror, for example. And they just think it's, funny. Wouldn't that be crazy if it was like that? It's actually like that. And
much
no one
worse.
Even knows it's like that right now.
Yeah. And they understand who the good guy is, but they, when it happens in real life, they won't do it. I mean, it's so weird what's going on. There was this, it's kind of strange, Jeff. There was this picture that came out of one of the royals, I guess, Kate Middleton or something. And within an hour of this thing being posted, you had all these people looking at this thing as well. There are 18 different things that are wrong with this. It's fake. I'm like, okay, why don't you use that same logic and apply it to something, realize you're completely under total tyranny. So it's like, you see those little glimpses, they have it within them. They just can't apply it there. Is there something?
I think there was a saying that I forget the exact saying, but small men care about people. Greater men care about ideas, and there's something in between or something after that. But the point is that a lot of people who haven't really you know, they haven't really done any work. They're completely mind controlled and all that kind of stuff. They get really infatuated with people. And that's why the democracy has been such a huge hit for slavery. So they really focus on that stuff. And yeah, they're capable of it. I watch, I'm actually a hockey fan still, although less and
love
less
it.
Because, you know, I care less and less over as we're getting more into the apocalypse here. But, when I pay attention to these hockey guys talk about stuff, it's like they know every stat of every player. They remember like 10 years ago what happened in a game. They can tell you what kind of penalty it was. And it's like, yeah, if you would do that with central banking and government and your own yes. health, like you'd be Superman. But no, they don't.
No, they don't really do that. And I want to come back to something you'd said earlier about your prediction for March 25th. I have a couple friends who are psychic, and they're also, I have also other people that are sensitive, and they're also picking up on ominous dark energy around there. It's something strange that's out there. So I wonder what's going to happen, if that is just a means for them to maybe open up some kind of etheric portal to bring in more reinforcements of their energy. It's just, it's dark, but at the same time, you know what, Jeff, I always wonder about this. Okay, all these terrible things are happening, but it's like if you are at a higher vibration, if you are more on a different frequency where you do not adhere to these poor values, you do not have this evil intentions within your heart, I would hope that that would give you some kind of protection from all this stuff. I mean, maybe the reason why some people did not get mind controlled, even if they've taken the fluoride or even if they have been eating, you know, the government food, is because they have a certain frequency. How do you see this? How do you see, let's say, for example, a spiritual way to protect yourself from whatever evil that they are trying to push upon humanity?
Well, I think I'd start with that. Thinking of protecting yourself, you're still kind of like in the matrix. You still believe this is all real. So for me personally, like while I will do things that I think are smart, move to a ranch, they're poisoning all the food right now. They're poisoning people from the skies in so many places. So I'm moving to a place where they're not doing that as much. Growing my own food because they're trying to inject all the food with the vaccines now, which is a code word for, you know, depopulation poison, basically. So I do those sort of things because, you know, I'm still in this video game and I have people I care about and I want to make sure I take care of them. And I also want to enjoy the video game. I obviously came into the video game for some reason, right? So to like, not do my best for whatever reason in whatever situation, just seems like, why would I even play this game if I'm not going to try, right? So the way I see it, there's a lot of crazy things going on. I think it's all good. I think everything's going on is good. I think the apocalypse is great. People are starting to realize that most of the world's controlled by satanic pedophiles who aren't even like who you think they are. And there's people beyond them. They might even be human. So it's good that people are starting to realize that. They've been trying to keep that out of people's consciousness for a long time. A lot of the world has gotten very, very lost. It's lost its connection completely, which happens in Kali Yuga, which a lot of people believe we're in Kali Yuga right now, which it's a long story, but there's a number of yugas. This goes back to Hindu sort of teachings that you have one yuga, which is Sat Yuga, which is everyone's completely connected to God. There's no ego at all. Everyone's living in bliss. They are just completely living in the moment all the time. The very idea of trying to do something to hurt someone else makes no sense. They wouldn't even enter their minds because they're just all connected and they all know that. But just like with everything, when there's a good thing, it usually degrades and gets worse. It's the second law of thermodynamics. Everything degrades. And so you go to another yuga and people are a bit more or less connected and things start to change and things start to get better in some ways, you could think, like technology and stuff, even though we used to have that technology already, which is
telepathy sort of thing.
But we lose those things as we lose our connection. And then it gets to the next one and it gets worse. And now we're basically in Kali Yuga, which has like world wars and, all this satanic stuff that we see everywhere. And people are just completely lost. So these people are completely lost at this point, completely gone with like no connection. Not everyone, but a lot of people. And it's actually the best thing for them to exit the game at this point because they're all in massive pain. They might not even know it. But their soul is in massive pain to be living in this state. So, when you were saying all these bad things are happening, it's like, I think these are all good. And in the end, there is no bad or good. This is just a video game. So just enjoy it for whatever it is. And don't worry about anything. Actually, if you worry about things, you actually create them with your own mind, because in many ways, your mind creates this entire reality. So yeah, as far as, you know, what do I, you know, am I worried about what they're doing? It's like, no, I do pay attention. I think it's fun. I think it's interesting. I don't know what my role is going forward in this, but whatever it is, I'll try to do my very best to do it. So I'm just waiting for more marching orders at this point. I haven't heard anything that I need to do lately. So I'm just doing my usual thing, walking with Lucy and making fun of a lot of stuff and trying to help people to realize what's really going on.
Thank you. Well, I love your walks with Lucy. And again, you bring humor and kept making jokes about the situations. I always feel it takes away a lot of the sting and the fear. And you're very positive. And Larkin Rose, if you watch some of his videos, I mean, the world's going crazy. And Larkin thought, was like, oh, this is fantastic. I mean, humanity's moving towards something really good. Like, you and him are both like equal size of Dr. Phil sometimes, some of your perspectives. And when you're looking at the world and you're seeing things and you're saying, okay, well, I'm part of this video game, you're wondering what your role is. I mean, the fact that you founded Anarchapulco and you've brought so many good people together, I think that's been pretty amazing. And I want to point out that we've had some really good people on our show, Steve Halconer, Beth Martins, you know, we've had Charlie Robinson on. These are all people I learned about through Anarchapulco, and they've just been fantastic. Like, every time you've done this event, which I would love to go to, but they're amazing teachers. So you're bringing together some really wonderful, powerful teachers. And I love that you're contributing more than just saying, okay, well, look, here's something that we're going to talk about freedom. You're talking about the spiritual aspects. Like, the one thing I can't wait to watch is the Game Changers. Can you please talk about that a little bit and talk about some of the ways that people can support you and support Anarchapulco?
Sure. Yeah. As far as Anarchapulco goes, I just, like with everything, I just go with the flow. So every year, actually, I think it's going to be the last year. Mm-hmm. And then something usually happens and people are so, like, they're almost demanding that we can't stop. And so, you know, in the moment this year, I decided, okay, we'll do it again next year. Although I don't know if we'll be able to do it. If all these things happen that I expected, it'll be almost impossible to do it. But I did talk to Kat, who runs the event. And she said, listen, we got through the COVIDs, we got through the hurricane, they can't stop us no matter what it is, so let's just do it. And so, you know, just like with everything, I hear that, and I'm like, okay, if you really think that you want to do it, even though we're probably entering into like World War III and the COVIDs, and they'll be locking everything down again, if you want to do it, we'll try to do it. So that's basically my thoughts with Anarchapulco. As far as the Game Changers, I started to realize that the real key to, like, when I first started with the Dollar Vigilante, my big sort of message was that the entire financial and economic and monetary system is in general a scam, or basically a fraud. And there's ways to learn ways around it. And of course, we've done very well with that. I recommended Bitcoin at $3 in 2011, Ethereum at $2 in 2016. Mm-hmm. That was sort of my focus. And then I started Anarchapulco because I felt like the so-called freedom movement, no one likes to call it that because we don't really like movements. A real freedom movement is just every single individually waking up and realizing that freedom is important to them and that they should stand up for it. I realized back in a long time ago, that's why I started Anarchast in 2010, is there was a lot of great people like Larkin Rose and so many others, and hardly anyone knew about them. So I wanted to give them sort of like more of a platform. And that's how Anarchapulco started. And it's now gone on for 10 years. We're going on our 11th next year if we can do it. And so I did that to kind of like help people to find all these amazing people. And that still continues to this day, as you just mentioned. It's really one of the most incredible gatherings of minds in the world. Actually the most incredible. There's no other place I've seen that's even like one tenth of it, really. And you really have to come next year if you can. There's no way to plan ahead 11 months from now at this point. But so I did all that, and Anarchapulco kind of started off as more like an anti-government. It was definitely called an anarcho-capitalist conference. So we wanted to focus on there should be no government and the market should be completely free. And that's the best way for humanity to have peace and prosperity. And, you know, we did that for a couple of years. It was kind of more like angry, like we got to get rid of the government and all these sort of things. But what I realized personally during that entire process is I was quite a bit of a mess. And I was not happy, even though I'd basically achieved freedom in most ways that people think are freedom. I lived completely outside of the systems, all pretty much legally. You can do that without, you know, living internationally, having your residency in one place, your citizenship in another, having offshore bank accounts, having Monero, all these sort of things. So I'm basically completely free financially. I'm pretty completely free politically because in Mexico, there's nothing the government does that bothers me at all. And even if they did, I could pay someone off and it wouldn't be a problem and it wouldn't even be that much. So I was doing all these things and I realized that I was basically completely free of these things that I'm saying are massive problems for most people, which they are. And then I started to look at myself and say, yeah, but I'm like a wreck. I'm drinking tons. I'm not happy. I'm depressed, all these sort of things. And that's when I really realized that freedom is a lot more than just whether the government's bad or not. It's more about yourself, and being free of your own mind actually is the real key. People don't realize that we are not our own minds. We are something separate from that. That's very easy for you to discover on your own through meditation as you sit there, and you can actually watch your mind come up with all sorts of stuff. And you go, wait, but I'm watching that. So who am I? Well, you're not your mind. And you're not your body. It's you're all kind of like in a team right now in this 3D video game, but you're not those things. And so I started down the road with psychedelics. I did ayahuasca a few times. I did a boga, which was crazy.
I don't know how you did that. I don't know how you pulled that. Isn't that like 22 or 24 hours or something?
It's two full days, basically.
Wow.
It's insane. But it actually knocked me out of my depression for a couple of months. And during that time, I started getting more into meditation. And combined with I had he's the best that I know of, a hypnotherapist in the world, Johnny Dupre. And using all those things, I managed to completely get out of this massive, massive thing that was destroying me, which was basically my own mind and my own traumas. And I've spent about 6-7 years ever since just continuing to work on it. I just finished an hour and a half meditation where I had to go deep into some traumas and pains, and some memories were coming up. I had to feel through them. I'm still getting rid of toxins from my body through all the health stuff I'm doing. I'm doing all kinds of health machines and stuff. But what I realized was, as I did this, now we're in the apocalypse and I feel better than I've ever felt. I'm not worried about a thing. If I was still the way I was 5-10 years ago, I'd be drinking every night and basically suicidal right now. So I realized that it's not about changing the world. It's about changing yourself. And then the world basically changes. How you see the world basically changes, and probably how you create the world basically changes. So that's the road I've gone down to. And now Anarchapoco has got a lot more of that kind of stuff added. A lot of spiritual people, a lot of health people, meditation, detox, all these sort of things. And so I actually started something in the last year, actually right after the hurricane hit, so-called hurricane, in Acapulco. That week I already had planned our first day of a 3-day Game Changers course. And I still managed to do it, even though I was in the process of basically trying to save Acapulco and working from 6 a.m. to midnight. I still did this entire event. And then we did the second event after we saved Acapulco for 2 days at Anarchapoco. So it's a full 3-day sort of thing now that you can get online at dollarvigilante.com/GC for Game Changers. And to me, it's the most important thing. If anyone wants to come to me, like I run a financial newsletter. And if you were to say, Jeff, I want to, you know, make lots of money, should I sign up to your newsletter? I would say to you, are you completely and totally happy, at peace? Have you removed all traumas? Is your entire family relationships with your wife, whoever it is, your kids, is it absolutely perfect? And if they say no, I'd say, you should sign up for Game Changers first, get all that stuff fixed, and then the money will just flow after that. Because you'll be able to basically, you'll see so much and you won't actually be acting like a robot once you do all this work. You'll actually be acting from your higher self. And then you're basically outside of the matrix. And when you're outside of the matrix, but still in the matrix, you can basically, you can do so many things that no one in the matrix can do because they can't see what you can see.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. And, I mean, listening to your shows, especially in the last year or so, I love that you've been focusing so much more on, you know, personal development, how important it is. And when it comes to traumas, Jeff, we've had some hypnotherapists on. I've talked to some of them, and I've been doing this thing where I meet up with people I went to school with. And if I ever wrong them in any way, I'm talking about elementary school, I apologize. And I'm finding more and more that by kind of making things right with the past, even if I was a kid, it's changing the present. It's like removing all the negative associations from it. So I'm just curious, has that been something you've also focusing on? Have you ever focused on going back and examining previous relationships with people, previous engagements? And also, is there anything, what would you say would be the biggest breakthrough as far as your acceleration in development mentally goes?
Well, I would say that I'm still actually processing a lot of things. I'm actually still reviewing my life quite regularly when I'm doing meditations and self-work and type stuff like that. I'm just starting to realize that, like, I thought I was a pretty good guy, like in general. And I am in general. But man, the things I did to like some of my ex-girlfriends, when I look back at that now, it's like, whoa, like not good, not cool at all. I was just, you know, completely lost. I didn't know what anything was all about. And so I just did not really, I cared about how they felt, but how I felt and what I wanted was much more important back then. So when you bring up like past relationships and stuff, I'm still actually just trying to process what all happened and see it through this new lens. And when you see it through this new lens, which is like completely a lot clearer, you start to see that. So no, I actually haven't really gone back and like, you know, called someone. I don't really call anyone. I live a very kind of like, I'm just basically completely like a hermit now with my family, with my dogs and my baby and my family.
Don't blame you.
But I haven't actually gone back and done those sort of things. I hear what you're saying though. I can totally see, just like when you remove that trauma or whatever that you have, through whatever it is, it's usually you have to really feel it and really let it be and those sort of things. And sometimes it could be like hours of you just feel like it's terror. But you have to release those. And once you release those, it's like you did go back in time and change things. And now everything changes all around you. It's quite incredible. So yeah, I forget the second part of your question though.
What was one of your biggest breakthroughs? The biggest breakthroughs that you ever had. I mean, because you said you're processing trauma, and I noticed that too. You were in the show. I was watching the show on HBO. You said that you had some trauma. So, was there any particular one that you transcended that really had the biggest impact on how you are today?
A biggest breakthrough. I've had, like, I have them almost every day. It's hard to like pick one, and it's all kind of a blur after years and years of doing it. But I'll mention one just because it popped into my head. And usually if it pops in my head, I'm supposed to say it. So I was doing work with my hypnotherapist like a year ago or so. And about a year ago. And we were going through some deep stuff. And I don't even know what we were going through, because a lot of the times I won't remember it afterwards. But he got me to a point where he said, "You have this." And he said, "Go look it up." And it was this really weird word. I actually don't even remember what it was. But it's like a way to define something wrong with a person. Mm-hmm. So I go look it up, and I forget exactly what it said, but I should look into it more. But it said something like a person who has completely disconnected from all feelings and emotion due to past traumas or something like that. And I don't know what it was, whether it was the work with him or me just I remember reading that and being blown away, like totally, completely blown away. Like, whoa, I didn't realize I was this thing, and there's actual word for it. And now that he mentions it, it's like, I think that is what I am. And I got incredibly sick after that for like a month, like physically sick. I couldn't barely eat a thing for a month. The color green coming out of me for like a month was crazy. I dropped 30 plus pounds. I was about 190 pounds. I got down 160 pounds in a month. And when it was all over, I felt great. But for that month, I did not feel good at all. And my hypnotherapist said we had a major breakthrough, emotionally, basically, or trauma breakthrough, or whatever you want to call it. And it actually released everything in your body that had been holding in. because of all that stuff. So yeah, that's one of probably dozens of similar things I've done over the last 5 or 10 years that brought me to an entirely new level. My body changed completely after that. Everything started working great again. I wasn't doing that great physically, like, you know, typical 53-year-old, you know, it wasn't moving great, wasn't, you know, physically all that healthy, even though I ate decently. And all of a sudden everything changed. And that was just my body releasing all of this stuff that it had been holding in for whatever reason. So like even when people say to me, I hear people say things like, you know, I'm really overweight and I want to lose weight. One of the first questions I wouldn't tell them, or one of the first things I wouldn't necessarily say is, you know, you have to change your diet and go to the gym. I'd probably start with, have you done the self-work? Have you resolved all your past traumas? And there's so many, like being born is a trauma. Coming into this video game, when you come from like God consciousness and all of a sudden you're like this helpless little thing that appears to be in this whole new world, it's incredibly, traumatizing. So you have to work on all those things. And I think, you know, you hear a lot of people, they're trying to lose weight and stuff, and so they keep putting it back on. Well, why are you eating all that garbage again? It's because you've got past traumas and you're trying to avoid them by giving yourself some sort of pleasure, like food, and it could be sex, it could be whatever it is, watching sports, whatever it is. And because of that, you'll never actually get to where you want to be until you deal with those traumas. So there's so many things. And it's quite amazing in this world we live in today, how many people have a hypnotherapist? How many people do meditation? How many people really even have any sort of therapist who talks to them about any of their traumas? Nobody in our society today really does that, unless, you know, like maybe you're older and you go do it yourself. But this should be like number one for all kids now. And I do that with all my kids. So they have a hypnotherapist. Basically, I have two older kids and they've been going to the same hypnotherapist for like 10 years. It's all over Zoom. He lives in Spain. And that is the most important thing. If you really want to save this world, you know, which doesn't exist, it's really not much point. But if you do want to do that, if that's why you're here, it's part of the video game that you want to save it, the number one thing is people need to somehow figure out how to do the work on themselves. And our society today it's the exact opposite of that. It's all distraction. It's all keeping everyone busy, running around, paying your taxes. Mm-hmm. Everyone really needs to do the work on themselves. I don't know anyone who's fully done the work. The closest would be Shunyamurti, who you've have on your show.
He's amazing.
He's incredible. But I don't know hardly anyone else even close to his level. And that's what it's going to take for us to get to a much better world. And that's why I said earlier, like, if they're going to kill all these completely destroyed people already, and then all that's going to be left are people like Shunyamurti and other enlightened people, then we'll probably be in Satyuga. So this is all great. You just have to kind of get to it. But the great thing is, even if you don't get through to the Satyuga in this body, in this video game, and you die, now you go back to God consciousness anyway. So there, you actually can't lose. So there's no reason to worry about anything.
Well said. I appreciate that. I love your answer. And in terms of what you said about going back to God consciousness, I talked to 15, 20 people that have had near-death experiences, and they all say that this is a fake reality. Like, this is the fake. Once you go back and you're in spirit, it's completely different, and you're all one, and all these things are beautiful. But the fact about dying is, like, I think the painful process of knowing you're going to die and seeing someone pass in front of you, I think that would be pretty traumatizing. And I want to reiterate, too, I'm so thankful that you shared the fact that you have worked on your trauma and that it has had an impact on you and it's changed how your body develops. Because I tell you, when I was working on my traumas, I also noticed change in my body. I couldn't lose weight. I was always eating at night, and I tried doing this, and I worked on that stuff, and things fundamentally changed. I find the more I work on traumas, things always change in the external world. And in terms of spiritual practices, you mentioned meditation. Are there any other types of things that you have done or you recommend to people that'll put them in a better position to be more receptive of meditation, to be more receptive of engaging with a higher self? Because I've utilized brainwave frequencies. We had a gentleman on our show named Michael Monk, and he said something that was aligned to my metaphysical teacher, Stuart Wilde. He said he used to listen to a theta metronome, and listening to that frequency put his brain in a position to be more receptive to certain messages. He also said gamma frequency was something else that was also good for intuition. So I'm just curious, is there anything that you recommend in addition to meditation that accelerates a person's spiritual development?
Well, one thing I would say, I hear a lot of people say, they'll say things like, I can't meditate. And it's like, first of all, don't say that, because when you say that, you're actually making it true, because your mind actually creates reality and your intentions and your beliefs create reality, whether you believe it or not. And it does. So don't even say that. But if you do say that, when they are saying that, you know, what they're basically saying when I ask them further is, you know, well, why can't you meditate? And they're like, well, I tried it a few times. I sat down and tried to stop my mind and I couldn't. It's like, well, you're a bit of an idiot. I hate to tell you, because it'd be like me saying you should run a triathlon. And them going, I can't do triathlons. And I'd go, why? And they'd be like, well, yesterday I tried to jog a bit and I couldn't even do like 3 miles. It's like, okay, but you know, you have to train for it, right? Like you have to work at it, right? That's the thing that most people don't get. And that's the thing that people don't realize is, just like with every other thing in life, if you're going to get good at something, you have to keep at it and you have to make it your focus. If you want to run a triathlon, see, when it's physical, it's so much easier because it's something you can see. It's something that when you finish it, you know you've done it. And you can see the progress as well very easily. It's like, wow, I ran 5 miles last week and this week I ran 7 miles and without getting tired or too tired, right? So those things are so much easier because they're so much more easily quantifiable. But with meditation, it's less so. In fact, if you're doing meditation even halfway decent, you won't remember most of the things that happened during the meditation because you will not be in this consciousness. So, you know, there's no real great ways to, like, you know if you're getting better at meditation. But the only thing you need to know is that if you keep trying and you keep doing it and you keep working at it, just like if you want to run a triathlon, you will get there. Everyone can, but you have to do the work. And sometimes it'll take years. And if you want a little, one of the things that really blasted me off into meditation was when I'd smoke one puff of cannabis weed beforehand. And I should tell people because when I first did, I was a weed lightweight. I'd never really done it sober in my entire life. I'd only done it at a party every now and then. And I was usually really drunk and it got me super paranoid. And that's all I knew about weed. So one day I was like, I heard that maybe smoking a bit of weed before you meditate really helps. And I was having trouble really getting into these deep meditative states. It was always very hard, very, very hard. Like I was saying, if you want to run a triathlon, it's going to be hell. Like you're going to have to put yourself through hell in many ways. You're going to have to watch every single thing for like a year, your diet, you wake up at the exact right time. You're going to have to push even though your entire body's burning. It's the exact same thing with meditation. It's just more mental. I'll just say with the weed, I did it once for the first time before a meditation, and it was like way, way too strong for me. I couldn't handle it, and I freaked out. I actually ended up like going to the pharmacy and asking them for medication to make it stop. I was completely just gone. But I realized that it did get me into a different state. So I tried it again, and I tried a lot smaller, like just the tiniest puff you could even do. And what had happened was it got me into a more of a relaxed state and it got me out of my mind for a little bit. That's what all that paranoia and stuff is. You're starting to go to a different state outside of your mind. It's actually a good place to go. It's actually where you want to be. But when you're coming from your mind's perspective, it's super, super scary because your mind thinks this is all real. Your mind is not you. Your mind's like a robot. And, but it just like any other thing that lives or exists, it wants to survive. So if it starts to sense that this reality isn't real, it will be in terror. And that's actually, you know, the what's that saying? The, walking through the shadow of the valley of death or something like that. There's all these, or the dark night of the soul, all these sort of things. You have to go through like sheer terror to get to like the next levels. And I have to say, I haven't really gotten to those levels yet. I've been meditating for years. Wow. I've gotten close so many times and I don't recognize where I am when it happens. And I panic almost every time. And then I get out of the meditation. So I get right up to the wall And every time my mind snaps me out of it. And that's what your mind wants to do. Your mind actually will try to stop you from really reaching meditative levels because it knows if it does, it doesn't exist anymore and it's not important anymore and all these sort of things. So you're actually, just like when you're trying to run a triathlon, at least when you're trying to learn how to run a triathlon and you're training for it, there isn't one person or thing who has every intention of doing everything it can to stop you and will do anything to stop you. There's nothing like that when you're trying to do a triathlon, but when you're trying to meditate and get to the deepest meditative levels and get outside of your mind, which controls so much of what you are, will do anything to stop you. And you actually have to end up basically in a battle with your own mind. But you know, at the end of the day, it's not even really a battle. It's like a loving thing to let it be more free of all these. It believes it's in this like super survival sort of situation. But you're basically fighting your own mind. Although you shouldn't really think of it as fighting, as I said, it's more like you're trying to help it. But that will be your biggest obstacle all the time. So, all I would say is if you're not meditating right now, just every day when you wake up, go somewhere, get out of bed a little bit. So you change, you know, your perspective a little bit, you know, maybe make a tea or something and then go somewhere. And you can even make a little ritual because rituals really make it so you repeat them. They create habits for your mind. So your mind starts doing it, even though it doesn't know why it's doing it. In fact, your body will start doing it without your mind even doing it after you do it long enough. But do a little ritual or whatever, and then just sit down and try to meditate and just try to go for, you know, 10 minutes. But don't expect that you're not going to have any thoughts. That will take years and years to get to. What's going to happen is you're going to have tons of thoughts. And what you want to do is to start seeing those thoughts from outside of your mind and watching them. And that takes years and years of practice as well. But eventually you can get there. And once you get there, you become basically like a Jedi. You can control your own mind and then you can use it for any, because the mind's incredibly powerful. It basically creates most of this world as far as I can tell. But if you can control it, instead of being its slave, you've basically reached new levels of freedom that in this 3D video game that are almost like cheat codes.
It's awesome. I appreciate it because last time we talked, I said this game needs more power-ups, and since we spoke, I'm seeing more power-ups out there. And I love what you're talking about, how, you know, to do things to optimize your brain and to be a little more focused, and I appreciate you sharing the answer. When you look at things coming ahead and you see your own development, where do you foresee the world coming in the next 5 or 10 years? And where do you see humanity? Do you think that we're going to have this great, great crash then? Or do you see, when do you think that this enlightenment period will happen?
Well, I should say again, none of this is real, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, if this video game continues and I stay in it for 5 or 10 years, I really have no idea. So many things are going to change over the next few years. The world's going to probably become a place that no one will recognize in a few years. And in many ways, for a lot of people, it's going to be worse. Although in many ways, it's the best thing that could ever happen to them because everything will collapse. And people who have been just working these jobs so they can get their pensions, so they can lie on the beach, will not be doing those things anymore. And they'll actually be living a more natural life. A lot of people won't be able to handle it. That's one of the big things, is that most people will see this as being horrible. They'll lose, like, it's like there's no cell phones anymore. There's no internet anymore because everything will just collapse at some point. And a lot of people just won't be able to handle it. Whereas a person like myself would be like, that's awesome. Like, great. Those things had a lot of negative things for a lot of people. And the best thing that could happen to a lot of those people is they go get into the garden, start making, growing their own food, eating healthy, not being distracted on their phones, spending time with their families. So it all really depends on how you perceive it all and what you actually do. And of course, you have to be careful. If you're in certain areas, you're probably going to just get killed. There's going to be like nuclear war type stuff. So you got to be smart if you want to get through this. If you do get through it, I see a ton of potentially good things. I don't foresee a world in 5 or 10 years where it's completely how Satan Klaus and Elon Musk and all these guys want it, where it's all locked down. Everyone's got chips in them. You can't, anyone like us couldn't do anything. We'd be hunted down and killed. I can't see that happening. I think there's way too many people on the good side. including like the creator of the video game. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'd be created to do that. Although if it is, that'd be also very interesting. You get to live in like a Terminator 2 type reality for a while, which, you know, once you're out of the video game, you'd be like, that was awesome, you know? And, you know, then you can fight the system at that point too, right? And give yourself some purpose in the video game. But I don't actually really see it going that way. I see probably a very high likelihood of a massive depopulation in the next 2 years for various reasons. And so the world population might be down to like 1 or 2 billion, which will change everything dramatically. Most things that we know today won't exist. The dollar will be gone. Banks will be gone. Most things in the economy will be gone because they're mostly set up around this fake system. People will start doing more real things, which is good. But no, I don't really see it getting super, super, super dystopian, although it could. Anything can happen. And if it does, you know, I'll just be on my ranch trying to fight off whatever the system is, just like Luke Skywalker in Star Wars. You know, it's amazing how many people watch those movies with like Star Wars or Hunger Games, and they cheer on Luke and Katniss and, yeah, get, you know, take down this evil system. And then they don't realize they're in like just an actually way more evil system than that. They don't do anything, and they actually like kind of like hate or talk badly about anyone who tries to do anything to stop it.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Jeff, I'd like to ask you just two more quick questions. One of them is something I forgot to ask you before, is when you're talking about, just coming back to your thing about brain optimization, you know, meditation, there's a part of, working on yourself and also physical fitness, I get a lot of dopamine rushes out of it. And I was wondering if you think that maybe people are kind of getting dopamine resistance in the Western civilization because they're too overstimulated. And there's this quote I love called "The lust for comfort murders the passions of the soul." And I see so many people doing whatever they can to find any kind of comfort, willing to give up any type of freedom for that comfort. And I love the Stoicism belief that it's good to be in pain once in a while, that, you know, you could take a cold shower or you could go on a fast or you could do things that will push yourself physically and maybe not engage in all kinds of computer things in order to build up some of the dopamine. I was wondering what your perspective is on that. And do you find that through some of the activities that you've done for self-work, you've gotten a lot of feel-good releases from that?
Yeah, definitely. Compared to how I used to be, it's like 1,000 times better now. Of course, not drinking alcohol for the last 2.5 years, the meditation, all this, the health work. It's not like I feel like I'm on ecstasy all day or anything, but compared to how I used to be, just completely depressed and lie in bed most of the day, that's how most of my days were. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as dopamine and stuff like that, this world is crazy now with the amount of things that are just constantly always happening, especially if you live in the digital world. And I remember when I was younger, like 20, 30 years ago, and thinking, wow, once the internet gets started, it'll be incredible all the things you can do and how awesome it will be. And yeah, there's some pretty cool things you can do. Of course, if you do the self-work, you can get beyond, you can do way better things yourself with your own mind. But I'm actually pretty surprised just how dystopian it's gotten, you know, to the point where people wearing these goggles walking around. When you, I rarely go around, out in public, but when I do, everyone, I remember even a few years ago, you'd see it a lot. You'd see just like everyone. You go to dinner, you look at every table, everyone's like this.
Everyone's
But now it's like literally everyone. There's like no one who isn't. Like it's completely gotten everybody. And they're just staring into this black scrying mirror and just getting mostly wrong information and propaganda and just constantly. And you get addicted to that sort of like as they're scrolling through their feeds. It's like they almost can't stop. It's like sugar or heroin or anything like that. And that's the exact opposite of where you want to be. The place you want to be is where your mind is completely just not even thinking about anything ever. And you're really not even taking in a lot of this stuff. I've thought so many times over the last year about possibly becoming Amish because I really think life would be so much better without any of this stuff. That said, you know, I'm still living this portion of my life. If I were to just like turn Amish tomorrow, there'd be about 100 people out of work, because, you know, that's about the total number of people I employed through various things that I do. You know, I'm not saying that's the only reason I don't do it, but like, there's so many like, yeah, maybe I should continue for a while longer, but it's in my head that becoming basically completely Amish, just no technology whatsoever. I don't really see any major benefits, although I'll probably keep air conditioners and solar panels and stuff like that. That is pretty comfortable. Although even that, there's the upsides and downsides to that. But now I'm like, just, if you would ask me like when I was 15 and said what the world's like today, hey, look, Jeff, you can like go on any dating app, get any woman you want. You order food, you just click a button and you don't have to do anything. And all these things, I would have said, wow, it's like paradise, the Jetsons. And no, it didn't turn out that way. It's mostly everyone's miserable. Everyone's disconnected. No one is connected at all to source anymore. They're living completely materialistically. Most people, the main thing they care about is money. Money is the god of this earth. And, you know, so for me personally, I detach a lot from it. I pretty much, you know, I spend probably do 4 to 6 hours per day of meditation and
stuff. That's amazing that you do that.
It's actually super easy. In fact, if you tried to stop me, we'd have a problem, because I'd be like, no, that is like the best part of my day. Like, you actually get to a point, once you especially get control of your mind, you get into these meditative states where these things become just completely pleasurable to do. Not to say that all meditations are always pleasurable, but even the hard meditations, I always come out of it and go, wow, I just got through another step. So I'm going to be improving even more now, as hard as that was. The more and more I want to turn off more things. Obviously, my baby will never see a iPad or a telephone until he's well into his teens. And I wouldn't be surprised if I'm completely Amish or like a monk at some point in the next few years, probably. But I'm not there yet. We'll see what happens. I'm really enjoying this part of the apocalypse. You know, having like the ability to, you know, go for walks with my dog Lucy and have like tons of people watch it, and, you know, changes their lives. And, you know, we're all having fun during the apocalypse, and, you know, helping people at the Dollar Vigilante make tons of money. The Crypto Vigilante, we just had a 9,000,000% gain. Some people made like tens of millions of dollars in the last few months. You know, that's kind of fun stuff for me. But at the end of the day, I know that the none of this stuff is important. But I am just enjoying it right now. I've kind of like come to the point where I was basically asleep or an NPC or a robot most of my life. I was completely running on programs. Only over the last 5 or 10 years have I started to not run on programs anymore. Now I've reached a level where I'm like almost like always happy and always healthy and always everything's great. Nothing can really ever bother me. Now I have a baby, which is like the most amazing thing I think
you can do in the studio again.
Huh?
He's walking too. I see him.
Yeah, he's like 16 months now. And so I'm just like, okay, I'm going to just enjoy for right now this part of the video game, because this is the most amazing I've ever felt, like times a million. So I'm kind of just enjoying it all right now. I don't know what the future's going to, what's going to happen. I wouldn't doubt it if I, like I said, I become a monk or a Amish type person or whatever it is. But for right now, I'm actually just living in the moment, living in flow and enjoying this apocalypse. It's just like anyone, if they're watching like the Hunger Games movie and it's like getting close to the end, most people are like, oh, they can't wait to see what's going to happen. It's like, that's where I am in this video game right now. It's like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? This is amazing.
Yeah. Mr. Jeff Berwick, I want to thank you so much for being with us today, for sharing your wisdom. I love your upbeat attitude. And every time I listen to your VCast, I love you're saying, oh yeah, this is the best apocalypse ever. 5-star review. That always makes you laugh. And you know, thanks for shedding light on a lot of dark times, but also really going deep and talking about some of the deep lessons we should be focusing on. You can learn more about Jeff by going to the Dollar Vigilante and also sign up for the newsletter. I read the newsletter every month. Again, I think it's really good that you put that out, get a lot of good information out. So there's just so much you can learn. And also there's that Game Changers. We'll put a link to that. But Jeff, thank you so much for being a light in an increasingly dark world.
Thank you, Ryan.
Okay, everyone, that concludes today's edition of the Out of Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show. Special thanks to our unbelievable guest, and special thanks, as always, to our virtues, Miss Carrie O'Connor, Miss Constance Dallas, and our associate producer, Jenny Lamisa. To learn more about the Out of Limits of Inner Truth, please go to our website at outoflimitsradio.com. And till the next time we meet, my friends, I wish upon you an abundance of peace, love, and beers. Take good care, and thank you so much for listening.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.